this morning. I just want to ask a couple questions of you. I want to know what the following items are worth. If I mention, you can tell me what they're worth. Go ahead and speak out, because it doesn't work very well if you don't. So if I had a dollar bill, what would that dollar bill be worth? You're sharp. Okay. We're tracking this morning. How about a gallon of milk? Somebody very specifically said $2.69. Let's say between $2.50 and $3, all right? Great. Let's get a little more specific, and I'm going to need help here because I'm not a car guy, but there's probably, you know, some people that are into cars out there. What if I said a 1957 Ford Thunderbird? What's that worth?
40 grand.
40 grand? We'll say it's in great shape. From the little bit of internet research I did, it seems those are $50,000 and up if they're in reasonably good condition. So let's just say $50,000, all right? Now I'm going to challenge you. This is going to be tough. Stick with me, though. Look at the person beside you. How much are they worth? Some of you are chuckling. Some of you are now talking with the person next to you. Some of you are saying priceless, and you don't mean it. Some of you are saying priceless and you mean it. We do a great job. We do an excellent job. We've been trained somehow. We are taught. We have the mindset to put a value on things. We can say this is what that's worth. And game shows are based on this. There's so many different game shows and TV shows that are based on, well, what is the value of this? What is this worth? How much is this worth? We do a great job with things. But with people, we evaluate differently. We make really quick judgments about an entire complex, individual, unique organism, such as a person. We make entire snap judgments about them based on maybe as Diane was saying, what they've said to us. Maybe how they treat us one time. We can sum up a person and say, well, they're not worth very much, or I don't like them, or they're awesome, or whatever it is. We'll do that so quickly. We assign value to things, and then for people, we don't take in the whole person, just, okay, that's my opinion, and that's what they're worth. And we do this. And if you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh, I don't do that, get out of your holy chair. Yes, you do, okay? You've done that before. And the problem comes when we make judgments on others as to what they're worth based on limited interaction. But I'm guessing there's an even bigger problem. And that's how you look at yourself and value yourself. Because I know many of us are most harsh in judging ourselves. Many of us can spot flaws that others will never even see. Many of us know the things that we do when no one else is watching, and so many of us would put a price tag of free or just please take out with the garbage on ourselves. Or, if we don't do that, we'll try and tie it to other things. There are so many ways that we try and evaluate ourselves tied to wrong sources, but that's what we do. This is what I'm worth because it's who I am. Well, this morning, what I want to talk to you about is the value that others have and the value that we have. And once again, I want to use a movie to help with that. The movie is Toy Story 4. The Toy Story series, in case you're not familiar, maybe some of you have seen, hey, let's do that again, because maybe I won't be alone this morning. How many of you have seen Toy Story 4? Praise Jesus, it's not just me this morning. The Toy Story series, in case you're not familiar, is a very family-friendly, family-oriented series from Disney Movies. It features Woody the Cowboy, and you saw a picture of him with the children, and Buzz Lightyear, they're two of the lead toys. And it's all about the lives that the toys live when their owners aren't around. So the idea that they're toys, they're played with, they do whatever you make them do, but when the owners aren't around, they have lives of their own, they have thoughts of their own, they take action, they take form. And the idea behind Toy Story 4, the most recent edition in the series, is you get a glimpse of the various characters, but they start to focus on a new character, Forky. And so what I want you, in the following clip, and I've got some great Toy Story scenes in there, but what I want you to focus on, so get your ears dialed in right now, get your mind locked, don't lose it in the Toy Story film, leave the service being like, I gotta see that. I want you to listen to the dialogue that they have with Forky. You're going to see several scenes with Forky, and he's a new character, but I want you to listen to the dialogue that occurs. But go on ahead and enjoy this scene from Toy Story 4. So Bonnie, the little girl in the clip, she creates a new toy. She finds different pieces of stuff, things that are lying around, and she makes Forky. And Forky quickly becomes her favorite toy. She likes all of her toys, but she made Forky, and he's special and he's unique, but Forky only sees himself as useful for salads and possibly chili. But other than that, he's trash. And so what you'll find in Toy Story 4 is Forky is continually looking for ways to throw himself away because he's trash. He was made from different pieces. He's not the same as the other toys. He wrestles with this idea of who am I and what value do I have and decides I'm trash. And there's Woody constantly saying, no, 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 you're a toy. No, you're special. No, Forky, you belong to Bonnie. And that makes you special. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to make a shocking statement. I want you to hold on to your pews and possibly the person next to you, because you never thought in all of your life you'd hear this, but the story of that spork is your story. You are all sporks. Wait a minute. That's not what I wanted to say. Forky's story is our story. Because again, some of those things that we tie our value into can dissolve so quickly. We put it all in our job. What we do for a living and how good we are at it is our identity. And what happens when we are demoted or we lose our job, all of a sudden, We feel like we're just nothing. Because we put so much into the job we work and we tie ourselves so closely with who we are. And all of a sudden, when something happens to that, something happens to us that hurts our identity, and we think, well, then what in the world good am I? I didn't succeed at my job. I must not be worth a lot. Or we put it into a relationship. I know myself only in the context of this other person. And when that relationship breaks, or when that other person is no longer around, and that can be a very painful thing, but we stop identifying who we really are because we've tied it so closely with that other person. We don't have an individual identity and idea of what we are worth. And sometimes we let other people tell us how much we are worth. Sometimes we let other people's words, when they know us well and they choose to say something hurtful, yeah, it hurts. But we choose to let that be the marker of who we are. So we have a close friend, and something happens, and they tell us, well, you're a pile of trash. And we start looking for a trash can to put ourselves in. And that can become a real problem in our lives. When we tie our identity to anything external, or to any person, or to any mode of operating or relationship, when we tie our identity to that, we're missing out on who each one of us are. And so to correct that, I want to turn to the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul had an encounter with the risen Christ. The Apostle Paul, before he met Jesus, was a Hebrew. He was of the nation of Israel. He was one of God's chosen people. The Apostle Paul had studied with the Pharisees and, in fact, gotten to the high rankings of the Pharisees. The Apostle Paul was one of the great teachers of how to live in their religious system. And beyond that, he was a Roman citizen. He was not part of the nation that Rome took over. But he had citizenship with Rome. He had all of these things that he thought made him a pretty special person. And then he meets Jesus. And then Paul, one day as he's traveling, encounters the risen Christ, sees that Jesus is a reality, knows that that small group of people that's worshiping Jesus, all of a sudden, whoa, they've got it right. And all of the thoughts that I had were wrong. At that point, Paul could have said, oh, I've wasted my life. I've looked at who I am through all these lenses, and it turns out I'm worthless. Jesus is everything, so I must be nothing. He could have said that. But instead, Paul decides that who he is completely tied to who Jesus is. Because if there was a person sent from God to live in a way that teaches us how to live, to love unconditionally, to offer his life that we could be forgiven, then Paul realizes that is all I need to be, and that is all I am. My life now and my life in the future will forever be tied to who Jesus is. And so Paul writes a book to the people in Ephesus we like to call Ephesians. Actually, you probably don't like to call it anything because you're like, what? This book makes no sense by title. But it's written to a group of Christians, a small group of believers in Ephesus, and Paul is reminding them that they are vastly important. Not because of what they've done or where they live or what part of the empire they live in, but because they are tied also into Jesus Christ. I want you to hear this passage from Ephesians. I'm just starting right away in chapter 1. Paul, he introduces himself, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, those faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reached its fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, I realize when I read that, that it is pretty wordy. The Apostle Paul was never short on verbiage. He must have thought, if this is going to make it in Scripture, it has to meet a length requirement. I'll just keep adding words and adding words until it doesn't make quite as much sense, but it will go down forever. All right, I joke. But the Apostle Paul has a very important message that he says here. And again, he's saying to the people in Ephesus, you are so important. Your faith matters because it's tied to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ shapes who you are. Because Jesus Christ was sent from the God of all things. And so you are tied to his Son. You are a child of the King. So I thought this was really cool. Maybe this will help you and maybe it will not. But I want to go back and I have just picked out parts of that passage that I want you to hear so that you can grasp, I hope, the essence of Paul's message. This is from that passage I read, and I just filtered some of Paul's wordiness out. Listen to this. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father. Not some distant God that made us and is going to watch and see what happens. God, our Father. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, who has blessed us. He chose us. In love, he predestined us for adoption. He wanted us to be part of his family. In him, we have redemption. You are redeemed. You have been turned in and your value realized and forgiven of sins. By the way, the wrongs that you've done don't get to define you either, because in Christ, Paul's saying, you are forgiven of your sins. They are wiped out. The riches of God's grace he lavished upon us. Think about that for a minute. The riches of God's grace, the King of everything, all that he has, he didn't just give a little bit to us. He lavished on us so that in him we are also chosen, that is, those who are in Christ Jesus, for the praise of his glory. You have been chosen to help celebrate and further lift up this God. You are included with Christ, God's own Son. You're included with that. And when you believed, you were marked with a seal, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And I love that phrase here. You were marked with a seal. God didn't just say, yeah, I'm going to make a bunch of promises. I hope you believe them. If not, whatever. But yeah, it's going to happen. God says, no, that's not good enough. I'm going to put a seal on this. I'm going to put a stamp. I'm going to sign to it. Marked with a seal, given the Holy Spirit as a promise, a deposit, guaranteeing that someday you will be caught up in full with God until God himself, the one, the only, God himself redeems us. That to me sounds pretty darn special. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying to these believers in Ephesus. You are special. Not because you live in Ephesus. Not because you've done some amazing things, not because you're even reading my letter, but because you are children of God and you are forever tied to Jesus Christ if you will but follow him. The Apostle Paul, I imagine, had to wrestle with this question of identity. Who am I and what am I worth himself? And again, we heard Forky doing the same thing. Woody, why am I here? Woody, aren't I just trash? Trying to throw himself away, and the constant message back is no, no, no. You are a toy. And there's this great scene in the movie where Woody says to him, Forky, you are not trash. You are a toy now. Bonnie loves you. I mean, just swap the words out. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not trash. You are tied to the life of Jesus Christ. God loves you. That, I would propose, is your identity. That is where you start. When you evaluate someone else, you had darn better stop and look at them and say, that's a child of God. Now, I understand some children of God act like heirs of Satan. I get it. But we can't simply say, beast of hell, go back to thy kingdom. It doesn't work that way. They are still part of God's creation, and they are still loved by God. They're just out of sorts, okay? And when we evaluate ourselves, we don't start talking about, well, this is what I do for a living, and well, this is who I am because I'm dating so-and-so, or this is where I go on vacation each year, and that makes me, or this is the title I have. It doesn't matter. Your identity starts in that you are a child of God. You are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. You are heir to an inheritance. That is where it starts. We try and put self-worth into so many different categories, and it will hurt every time if it's not tied to something eternal. You know why that is? The math is simple, because that will disappear eventually. God's love will remain always and forever. You are loved by God. You were made by God. You were made for God. This matters in the world we live in, not just for ourselves, but because I can guarantee, and I don't make a lot of guarantees, and guarantee the Bears will stink this year. But here's another. I can guarantee there's somebody that you work with. There's somebody that you go to school with. There is someone in your family that you get together with. There is a friend that you have. There is a child that looks up to you, or there is someone that you look up to. Someone in your life is asking that same question deep inside that Forky was wrestling with and that at some point you've wrestled with. What am I worth? Someone that you encounter on a pretty regular basis is trying to determine if they matter, if they have value. What are they here for? Someone that you talk with regularly, though they may never, ever ask you, wrestles with what am I worth? If it's based on their looks, or if it's based on they've had a bad day, or if it's based on they didn't make the sports team, or whatever it is, they are wrestling with that question. And so it is more important than just for our own knowledge to know that we matter because God says we matter, because God created us, and he chose us, and he loved us, and he made a down payment on us, and he will redeem us. It is important that you know that, but more so that other people in the world know that. Because someone saying I'm not the highest paid person in this company, and I didn't get that promotion, and I don't even think the boss likes me, and I sure don't like the boss, but do I matter? Someone's asking why they don't fit in with the in crowd. How come I'm not accepted? How come that group, and actually even that group never accepted me? Why is that? Do I have any value? Someone's feeling rejected because their own family doesn't accept them. Their own family has hurt them in some way or cut them off, and they're saying, do I have a family I belong to? Again, it may be a relationship that ended, maybe very painfully, years of marriage separated by death, and the person's saying, but what am I now anymore? Maybe it's a breakup in a dating relationship, and well, darn, that just crushes my heart. You never know who it is because, again, they are not likely to ask you. But they are asking constantly in their mind, do I have worth? And the best gift you can give them is to say yes. By identifying yourself as a person of worth because God claimed you first. And if you can live in that confidence, you can share it with them if they do ask, or you can show them at a minimum that you live as a child of God. You need to be secure and solid in your identity and where that's found, and the only place that is lasting and the only place that you are truly, fully, completely known and loved is in Jesus Christ. And God gave that to you as a gift. Forky couldn't see that while he was made from random pieces of stuff, that he was infinitely valuable to the one that made him. This is our story too. This is our story too. This is our identity. We are infinitely valuable to the one who made us. Sure, we were made from dirt as we read it in Genesis, but we are infinitely valuable, by far worth more than just dirt. In the next chapter of Ephesians, by the way, Paul sums things up really, really well. And so if you don't remember anything else, I want you to hold on to this thought this morning. I'm going to throw it at you, so I want you to catch it. Ready? Listen. In the next chapter of Ephesians, Paul was telling them how great it is to know Jesus and how much they're worth. And he says this kind of as a summary statement. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork. Think about that. We are God's handiwork. There are many things about us and many facets to us and even maybe many opinions about who we are and what we're truly worth. But first and foremost, if you will live it, you are God's handiwork, tied to Jesus Christ, sealed until the day God redeems you fully. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that something as simple as a child's movie can speak to us truths about who we are in your eyes. God, for people out there that wrestle, and all of us do from time to time, but for those that wrestle with knowing who they are, or where we find value, or why do we matter, remind us, God, remind us that you gave Jesus for us, that you sent your Spirit to move within us. Help us to identify first and above all else as yours and live out of that. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.